Hola, ¿cómo está? I don't know where you are, but wherever you are, hi. Okay, we've been in chapter 10. Pastor Obi did chapter 10 2 weeks ago, and we talked about the different types of prayer. I want to remind you that prayer is like having a box. You got to have a toolbox, and in your toolbox are the different types of prayer. Problem is, most believers don't know that. If you talk to most people, they say, "Well, I pray," and you ask them, "What way?" And they look at you like this. What do you mean? What way do I pray? Because there's different ways to pray. If you are a contractor, you need a hammer, you need a drill, you need a screwdriver, you need a saw, you need different tools in the box to be able to get the house and to get the things accomplished you need. And it's the same with prayer. Prayer is not just praying, saying nice little words, but there are different types of prayer, and Pastor Obi covered them, so I just want to touch them real quickly. What prayer is not? Prayer is not pompous, competitive, chanting, or yelling. There is no more fun than going to a pastor's prayer meeting. Really, it is a blast. If you get to go to a pastor's prayer meeting, you should do that just to listen, because one pastor will pray, the other one tries to outdo him, and then the other guy tries to outdo him. And then the words get really long. You know, it becomes a real theological declaration. It's not in the spirit. It's completely God's not hearing a blessed word they're saying, because they're not talking to God. They're just trying to outdo the next guy. You know, it's really fun, though. You got to try that every once in a while. I have a good time with that. Prayer is also not spooky. So the different types of prayer is supplication. Supplication is an awesome type of prayer. I'm not sure how much he covered. Did he give you the examples that were in the book? One of my favorite ones is Michelle Rossplach. She was there the first few weeks we were in church. You know Michelle. And Michelle Rossplach one day, she said, "Well, I'm praying for a new stove, a new oven." And I said, "Great." And so it was really funny. So I said, "Great." I said, "What do you want?" She says, "Whatever the Lord will give me." You see, that's a big thing. Old school used to teach you, don't ask specific, because you shouldn't be greedy. See, if you ask specifically, that means you're just too greedy with God, and it's wrong. You shouldn't do that. You should just get whatever He gives you. And so she prayed, and her husband came home that night with a nasty green stove. He found it on the side of the road with the word free on it. Brought it home. No, I'm sorry, it was the puke yellow one. Brought it home, he installed it in the house, and she freaked out. She came to me and said, "Pastor, I hate that stove. It's that puke yellow 1960s. I said, "Well, you deserve it." She said, "What do you mean I deserve it?" I said, "Well, that's exactly what you prayed for. Whatever God would give you." I said, "I don't know about you. I think you should supplicate. You should be very clear and very specific in what you're praying for. God's not poor. God can afford a nice stove. But if you want to put your faith to anything, then you get whatever you get." Lamborghini. Whoa, Jesus. Come on now. And so what's funny is, if you put your faith towards that, don't you believe God can do it? "Well, you know, I just want to be practical." Somebody actually just said the other day, they said to one of the men in the church who has an Escalade, they walked up and they have a poverty mentality. They grew up in a small church, poverty mentality. Walked up and says, "Don't you feel guilty driving such a nice vehicle where you could sell it and you could give more money to the poor?" And he said, "Well, no, not at all." He says, "I give a lot of money to the poor." He says, "And God gave me this." So there's a mentality that has to be broken. Supplication is a specific prayer of what you're specifically asking for. My mother-in-law one day, oh, by the way, she never said a word to anybody. She just complained to me and herself. And her dad walked in one day and saw the puke yellow and went to Sears, I believe it was, or Lowe's, and bought her a brand new white one and brought it home. She got ex that's exactly what she wanted. She had one a specific one. He actually went and found that one that she wanted and that she had been praying for after she changed her prayer into supplication. So you need to be willing to ask specifically. That's what supplication is about. Now, also what's really cool is my mother-in-law one day, she really didn't have a lot of money. In fact, she came and became our child when she was 51 or 52. Her husband left her after 25 years of marriage. And she moved in with Rhonda and I, and my wife and I raised her mother. And we sent her off to college. She didn't have a high school education. We got her GED with her. Then we sent her off to college. And then she got her degree. And then she really started sprouting wings. And she got very excited. And she started secretarial science. And she got her own apartment. And Jesus is good. And But I remember her saying one day, she said, "I'm praying for a new car." And I said, "Well, what kind of car are you praying for?" She says, "I'm praying for a sporty red car with black rims." I said, "Okay." Well, her son got a tax return that year, Chad, and he went out, didn't know exactly what she only told me. I said, "Remember, don't tell people because that's manipulation." I said, "If God can do it, God can do it." So Chad went out and bought her a car, and it was a little red neon with black rims. She says, "You got to see what I got." So she was stout. And she walked out. She was so cute. She walked out. She goes, you got to see what I got. And she showed me her car, man. She's so proud of her little sports car. You remember that, Chad Michael? So it's really interesting on the supplication. You got to be specific. Everybody say, be specific. Intercession is the type where you're standing in the gap for somebody else. So you see somebody that's lost in sin by you praying. And I want to remind you that God never told us to pray for a sinner. But God told us to bind the devil who blinds the mind of the unbeliever. So when you're praying for a sinner, you don't pray that God will save them. It's already his will. You pray that the devil who's blinding the mind of the unbeliever will be loosed so that they can see the gospel. That's called supplication. You're standing in the gap for. When we pray for our government, Lord Jesus, we're standing in the gap for our government. When we're praying for abortion situation, we're standing in the gap, believing that God will stop abortions in America. You know, it's standing in the gap between God and mankind. The next type of prayer, and he already covered all these, so I'm just wisping through, is the prayer of faith, calling those things which are not as though they already are. You hear most people pray like this: "Well, you know, Lord, I really hope you do this for me. And so, God, I'm just believing that you're gonna heal me, God, that you're gonna give me a new job, Lord, whatever you want, I'm just hoping you do it." Well, you're not getting anything. God's not moved by your need. God's not moved by your hope. Hope is futuristic. God is moved by your faith. What is faith? Faith is saying, "I receive it before I can see it. I receive it before I can see it." There was a woman, I cover this in the healing chapter. There was a woman who was in church, and she had a big goiter on her neck. Everybody knows what a goiter is, like a little fatty tumor. But it was about the size of a grapefruit. There you go. And so here she is. She gets up, and the evangelist is in town. And she goes up for healing. He lays hands on her and says, "In the name of Jesus, you're healed." Well, the goiter was still there. Well, Sunday night is testimony night in their church. So on Sunday night, she stood up and she said, "I just want to thank my God for healing me of this goiter in the name of Jesus." And everybody's looking at her. Well, the goiter is still there. 6 months goes by, still testimony night on Sunday night. She's still standing up every single night and declaring, "I just want to thank my God for healing me of this goiter." After about 7 months, the board went to the pastor and said, "Can you shut her up? We all can see the goiter's not gone." So the woman, the pastor calls her in and says, "Listen, we don't want you to give that testimony anymore. We can all see that it didn't happen. You know, God didn't heal you." And she said, "Well, pastor, I love you." Well, testimony night, Sunday night, you know. So on Sunday night, is there anybody that has a testimony? Up, this woman pops. She says, "I cannot not thank my God for healing me of this tumor in the name of Jesus." And she said the eyes that looked at her were piercing and vicious. And as they're staring at her, the goiter goes plop, falls right off her face. When was she healed? When she received it, almost a year before. When did it manifest? Well, that Sunday night. Well, I believe it when I see it is what most people's mentality it is. That's not faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Faith declares things and activates heaven. Remember, the good part about heaven is that everything that we need, access, is available to us. So what we have to do is we have to, by faith, call those things which are not as though they already are, and we hold firm to the confession of our faith and are not moved. That's called the power of the prayer of faith. And that is extremely exciting. Anybody have questions on that one? Now, it's very important. I just want to cover this too because it's right there. Is that Satan is not after your job. He's not after your marriage. He's not after your money. He's not after your children. You know what Satan is after? Your faith. Why? Because if he has your faith, you can't get prayers answered. So if Satan gets your faith, he's got you. I've had people say to me, well, I've lost my faith. That's a very bad situation. When you lose your faith, that means you have nothing to stand on. You cannot move heaven. You cannot move anything. You're done. The devil is after your faith. The next one's called the power of attorney, to act on behalf of another. You and I, through the prayer of faith, can activate the power of attorney. And what power of attorney means is means you're acting on the stead of somebody else. So like if someone puts you as a health proxy, and let's just say they have $5 million in the bank, put you as a health proxy, they put you down as being able to act as the power of attorney in their life. When it comes time to pay the bills, you can literally sign your name, and your name means their name. So legally, whatever you sign, they have to do, because your name equals their name. Well, I want to remind you that the name of Jesus was given to us, not because Jesus needed a name, but because we needed a name to be able to declare in prayer through the power of attorney. And that's the exciting part, is that when we pray in the name of Jesus, I just sense the anointing. I love talking about this stuff. When you start praying in the name of Jesus, the Bible says you're writing your ticket. It's not you. It's God sees the name of Jesus when you pray in his name. And so heaven has to move. John chapter 14 says, up to this point, you've asked nothing of me, but from this point, whatever you ask in the name of Jesus, I will do it for you. So the believers, the sons and daughters of God, if they do not understand the name of Jesus, then they can't step into the power of attorney. If they don't step into the power of attorney, then we can't work on behalf of heaven, because we can only work in our authority. But when we understand the power of attorney, whatever we say in the name of Jesus, it's not us saying it, it's God backing us up. The power of attorney is an amazing level of authority when you are praying. The next one is called the prayer of agreement. The prayer of agreement is where two touch one thing, it shall be done. This is why Satan has worked forever to keep division. What is division? Well, it kills the vision, number one. But if you look at Adam and Eve, the devil separated Adam and Eve. He caused division. And so Eve was beguiled, but Adam willfully fell. He divided them and then conquered them. The devil is constantly dividing and conquering. Why? Because he knows if two touch one thing, there's nothing that can hold them back. It's a spiritual principle. This is why the Bible, this is why husbands and wives very rarely pray together. You think it's the dynamics. In fact, what's really interesting, ladies, you might not even know this. One of the most uncomfortable things for a man to do is pray with his wife. It's strange. Men feel weird when they pray with their wife. Well, why is that? Well, because if you and I actually break through that as a husband and a wife, two touching one thing, what can be done? Everything. But if a husband and wife don't pray together, then you're praying individually. There's less power. So the enemy constantly works on the men not to pray with their wives. Because then he knows that he's actually dwindled the power of the family. So husbands, you should start praying with your wife. You're going to feel absolutely uncomfortable. Just know that all men do. You're not alone. Amen? Now, if you're engaged, I would encourage you not to pray together and not to read the Bible together, the engaged couples. Well, why is that? Well, I tell all engaged people, do not read the Bible and pray together. Well, why? Well, because there's three types of love. You have the filial kind of love, which is the friendship kind of love. You have the agape kind of love, which is the God kind of love. And then after you've established that spiritual relationship, there's only one kind of love to go to, and that is eros. So a couple that is building a very tight spiritual relationship during an engagement usually will end up in bed before they say, I do. So I always encourage couples, if you're not married, to do, if you're going to do any type of devotions, do it very far away from each other, very separate. Okay, next. Praise and worship is another type of prayer. You might be saying, how is that prayer? Well, because, listen, praise and worship, the Bible says that God, and he surrounds those that will praise and worship him. So what happens is the more you praise and worship, the more you invite the Holy Spirit, the more you invite the Holy Spirit, the more your prayer is Spirit-led, the more your prayer is Spirit-led. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we pray anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, the answer is already on the way. So the issue is that the more you praise and worship in your prayer time, you'll sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit increase. You'll sense the direction and exactly how to pray to happen. And when you and the Holy Ghost pray together and you pray in the name of Jesus and it's God's will, there's nothing that can stop it. So all of these types of prayer are different and they're used for different things. So someone says to me, well, you know, my spouse is leaving me. What can I do? How can I pray for them? Well, I'm praying, but God doesn't seem to be doing anything. Well, the reason is because your spouse, the other human being, has free will. So you can't just pray a blanket prayer with somebody that has free will. You have to pray specifically. Well, what is that specific? You have to intercede because you're standing in the gap for. But you also have to make sure that you're binding the devil who's blinding the mind of the unbeliever. So you're not going to just go out there and pray the prayer of faith because their will is involved in the decision. You have to pray in intercession, standing in the gap for, and binding the devil that would blind the mind of the unbeliever. So you have a bill, and there's not enough money to pay the bill. So what type of prayer do you use? What type of prayer do you use? Supplication, right? Detailed. What else? Prayer of faith. Very good. Calling those things which are not as though they already are. So supplication, you're given the details of what you need, praying, and then the prayer of faith releases it. So you're going to find that prayer works as a coupling. It's like fingers that flow together. Knowing them put you in a position on receiving from them. So when I pray, I'm very strategic in my prayer. Now you see, a contractor that's not strategic, let's say he has to, let's say, well, they're building the altar up at the new church in Ithaca. So it's a 10-foot wide altar, and it's like, I think, 20-some-odd feet long. So all of a sudden, they go and they grab a putty knife and a screw, and they're going to put that thing together. How long is it going to take them to get that screw in that piece of wood with that putty knife? Till Jesus comes home. So you got to have the right tools in the box, and you got to know how to use them. Listen, if you pick up a drill, a DeWalt drill, but the battery's not connected, if you don't know how to use that, it can even have the bit on there, and you're going to go like this. What's going to happen? No power. So what you got to do is grab the battery pack, put it on, and then you got zip, 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 zip. And you can literally put together that thing in a few hours just simply by taking the screw with the bit, with the right tool, zip. And you're in, and you're putting the whole thing together. This is what you have to do when you're learning how to pray. You need to learn all the different types of prayer. You should memorize these different types of prayer so that when now all of a sudden you're in a position where you have to pray, you have a situation you got to deal with, you know what tool you need to pull out of the box. You're not going to pull a putty knife out when you need a screw gun. Amen. Okay? You're not going to grab a screwdriver when you need a hammer. You're going to know what tool to use. This is so important for you to grab a hold of because so many believers just pray. Listen, that's called relationship. When I just pray, I'm praying relationally. Jesus, I love you. Thank you. Now go through a time of praise and worship. Oh, that's right. That's part of prayer. And I'll go through a time of praise and worship, and I'll create the atmosphere for the Lord. Now, listen, you know how it goes. You have a relative that the only time they ever talk to you is because they want something. You know what I mean? They call you on the phone. They only call you once or twice a year. But when they call you, it's, hey, how you doing? Well, good. Ding, 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 ding. What do they want now? Boy, you know, I was just thinking about you the other day. I'm thinking, yeah, why? Because you want something. Hey, you know, I was wondering if you could help me. Oh, yeah, of course. Listen, that's the way many people pray. They only go to God when they need something. But the relation, when we talk about just simple prayer, that's relationship prayer. You know, you need to talk to God the exact same way you're going to talk to your spouse or a friend. It's relational. It's honorable, but it's relational. You know, you're going to spend time with him. You're going to listen to him. Have you ever been around somebody that all they do is talk? How are you? Well, you're getting ready to answer them, and they're already asking you the last question. Now you're trying to get a word in edgewise. Come on, that's an old statement, huh? You can't even get a word in edgewise with these people. Isn't that the way a lot of people pray too? They don't listen. So personal prayer is spending that time with the Lord and sharing your heart. Well, you know, I don't want to share everything because, my goodness, you know, I know what I think sometimes. He knows it anyways. You might as well tell him. He already knows. He already knows when you're mad. He already knows when you're sad. He already knows when you're ticked off. He knows when you want to cuss. He heard the words before you even said them out of your mouth. And if you didn't say them out of your mouth, you just slapped him in your head, he still heard them. He knows when you're disappointed. He knows when you're brokenhearted. He knows, he knows, he knows. So this is that type of personal relationship prayer that we're talking about. That's where you're talking to him and sharing your heart with him. And Lord, I need, you know, at times I don't even ask him for anything. I'll just, in my time of prayer, I'll just listen to praise and worship. And listen, I can't sing well at all, but I'll sing because, I mean, the dog's not even in the room. I'm safe, you know. It's just me and Jesus, and I don't know how he does it, but he makes even the most foul sound come out to be beautiful. But I won't even say anything. I'll just walk around, and I'll listen. Because as much as we want to talk, he wants to talk too. He wants to talk to you. And that's that personal type of prayer. So all these other types of prayer, mainly what you're finding are tools in your toolbox to get some work done. Prayer is for work, except for the relationship type of prayer. So you have two types of prayer, your relationship type of prayer and the tools that are in your toolbox. So the tools that are in your toolbox are to do what? Work. What do you mean work? Well, give me an example. Let me tell you what type of prayers you use. Somebody give me an example. What's that? Warrior prayers, what that is where you are binding devils, binding and loosing. The Bible says whatever you loose in heaven is loosed on earth. Whatever you bind in heaven is loosed bound on earth is loosed in heaven. And so the power of binding and loosing, taking devils and telling them where to go and all this other stuff, taking authority in the name of Jesus. So you're going to use what? You're going to use power of attorney. You're going to use what else? Prayer of faith. See, I want you to memorize these. I want you to really understand that when you pray, you're actually folding your fingers together. Not one prayer is going to work on its own. These working prayers, these tools in your toolbox, you can move heaven and move earth. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. Well, what type of prayer is that? You can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt the prayer of faith. Calling those things which are not as though they already are. So all of this is so powerful. And this prayer and worship factor is extremely important because this is what will foster the environment. You know, if you're married and you want to have an intimate romantic evening with your spouse, you don't go put on Bang Your Head. Well, why? It's just not romantic. Well, maybe it is. Maybe you're on heroin. You know, hey, that'd be a real bad generation, wouldn't it? You may, does that work for you? Bang your head? Do you really? I know, I'm sorry. So here we are. We've got to make sure that we're creating the atmosphere for God. Why do you think we do praise and worship first?
Yeah. Well, because it's traditional.
It is. It's about atmosphere. It's about creating an environment that God will be able to enter into, for he really loves to flow in and amongst his kids. But this is at home, too. You know, this should be part of your life. Instead of listening to even Family Life Network, and I'm not against Family Life Network, but put on praise and worship instead. And spend time with him. Listen to him. The last type of prayer that Pastor Obi, he didn't cover yet, is praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is when we allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us in tongues. Now, you've heard us talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit often and always in this church. The baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues is an important part of your toolbox. But what happens is there are folks that, you know, kids are really a breeze to get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the adults that are usually messed up. Because we got to understand everything. Well, baby, if you can understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost fully, well, then your name is God. But there are two types of speaking in tongues. One is called public tongues, which is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which means that when somebody shouts out loud in tongues, there has to be an interpretation. Tongues, 14, it's all through it, honey. Okay? 14, 2 and 3 are very specific. So what happens is, when you're shouting out, when there's a tongue for the body of Christ, tongues with the interpretation of tongues, which is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is equivalent to prophecy. So in this church, you'll see more prophecy than tongues with interpretation of tongues. Every once in a while, you'll hear tongues interpretation. Usually it is Shirley. You know, Shirley will just bam. When that old lady, she starts shouting out in tongues, I don't care what you say, your hair still goes up. Prophet Ogunwumi was one, man, when he moved in the gift of tongues with the interpretation of tongues, I mean, it scared six rows back. He was very loud. So that's not the tongues we're talking about. Public tongues always need an interpretation. But private tongues are what God promised in Acts chapter 2. We see it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Go and tarry in Jerusalem to receive the promise of the Father. And then he says in Acts 1:8, he said, You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then in Acts chapter 2, they went and tarried, 120 of them in the upper room. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God came upon them as a tongue, cloven tongues of fire over their head, verses 1 through 4. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That is called private tongues. Private tongues are very important for you. Why are private tongues very important? Because part of private tongues is not only the power of prayer in intercession for things you don't even know of, but also it encourages and strengthens you in your inner man. Now, we have a whole chapter. We'll deal with that specifically on when we get to it. But I'm paintbrushing right now. So everybody in the body of Christ, this gift is to you and to your children and to all those who are afar off, is what Acts chapter 2 says. So this gift is for everyone. A lot of folks who've come out of the Baptist background were told that, number one, it no longer exists today. But if they actually get somebody who has some level of it, they'll say, well, that gift isn't for me. That gift is for people in the church. Private tongues is for every single believer. How many of you love the Lord? Amen. Then the tongues are for you. Why is that? Because number one, it stirs up the gift of God that you receive by the laying on of hands in Timothy. But number two, you encourage yourself in the Lord. We find that in the book of Jude. But also what it does, it is a prayer language. When you do not know what to pray for, when you pray in other tongues, in a prayer language, you are praying to God. The Holy Spirit is using you as a conduit, and the Holy Ghost is praying through you to the Father. Well, why would the Holy Spirit need to do that? Because God put a principle in order that if something is going to happen in heaven that will touch earth, it has to come through the power of prayer. So prayer is the principle that activates heaven. Our Father, Jesus said, the disciples said, teach us how to pray. And he taught them, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer brings heaven to earth. So when you don't know what to pray for, how can you pray and see something accomplished? And that is called the prayer, or praying in the Spirit. Praying in tongues is extremely powerful, extremely powerful. The Bible says in the book of, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So when you're praying in private tongues, your spirit man is encouraging yourself in the Lord. You're going to start feeling that churning. I love Shambach's story. Shambach one day was in New York City getting ready to do a large tent crusade. He set up, I believe it was in the Bronx, in a very, very dangerous place. And he went walking one day, and he came across a shoe store. He looked in the shoe store, and there is a pair of blue suede shoes. And he says, I got to have a pair of those blue suede shoes. So Brother Shambach went into the shoe store. It was an old-style shoe store. And the man measured his feet, and he said, I'll be right back, sir. I'm going to go get a pair of those shoes out back. And Brother Shambach said the Spirit of God came upon him in that room, and he started praying in tongues, and all of a sudden, he shouted out, Hallelujah! The man from out back came running out. He said, sir, sir, is everything all right? He says, it's all right now. The safety valve went off. Tongues are important. It stirs yourself up and encourages yourself in the Lord. And you'll find that the more you pray in tongues, the more powerful you will be, because you are praying spirit to spirit. That's the amazing part about praying in other tongues. It's spirit to spirit. Your mind is unfruitful, and that's talked about in 14 verse 2. But he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. So what's amazing is when you're praying in other tongues, you're praying things that you don't know, but God could be moving your future ahead. God could be changing a situation in another nation. God could be using you to stop situations that are going to happen even in the future. You see, the power of tongues is the Holy Spirit, who knows our future, is using us as the conduit to move heaven to earth. So this is why in this house we always push you to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's not that, boy, you know, we got four more speaking in another tongue. Nothing to do with that. This is for your benefit. It'd be horrible as if you're building a house and you have nails you're putting the house together with, but you have no hammer. That would really stink, wouldn't it? I mean, all you're using 16-penny nails, which is a pretty good nail, but you can't nail anything because you don't have the right tool in your box. My dad, who was a contractor, spent a lot of money on tools. One day we're buying a tool down at Hamshaw's, and I said, hey, Dad, I mean, do you really need that tool? He says, well, listen, we can do it another way. He said, but if I get this tool, I'm actually going to shave off over an hour a day because that tool makes it happen quicker. Well, he bought that tool. And you know what? I got to use that tool. I didn't get to use many tools. He just didn't trust me. I remember this one. It was called a PAS load, which is a nail gun that is not using air. It's using gas. And we were up in this place, in this lady's attic, putting up new rafters. And man, there was just no way to get all the air compressor and everything up there. So my dad went out and bought this PAS load. I believe it was like $300 or $400 at that point in time. And here he is, and the cartridges were like really expensive. And so here we are up there. Instead of taking a nail and having to nail over your head, my father would go, puh, puh, puh. I said, I like that gun. Because I was the grunt, so I was holding the rafter. I didn't have to hold the rafters as long. Tongues are just like that. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to speak with other tongues. It's imperative for you to be more successful in your prayer time with God. So what happens is, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden you're going to get a burden. And it might be a situation you're not sure of. You're not sure how to handle it. You might know the details. You might not know the details. I remember there was a man named Mike. He was an Elmira police officer. And he took the night off, and he was coming down the stairs, he said, at like 11:30 at night, and his partner was going on at midnight. And so he's coming down the stairs, and he said all of a sudden it just felt like a brick wall fell on him. He had such an overwhelming burden for his partner. And he's a manly man, and he said, all I could do was cry, Pastor. All I could do was cry, Pastor. And he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. But his wife was. And so he called his wife. He cried out her name, and she came running because she thought he was hurt, you know, on the stairs or something. And he says, I don't understand. It was such a heavy burden, such an enormous weight on him spiritually that he couldn't shake it. You know that feeling you get when you just know something's wrong, but you can't figure it out, and it's overwhelming you, and you don't know how to handle it. You don't know what to do. You might not even know what's going on. You just know that something bad is going to happen. And so his wife just started praying in other tongues. All he could do was cry. Now, if he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, he could have prayed along with his wife. But his wife just started praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. He said 20, 30 minutes later, boom, it lifted. Once it lifted, he called his partner back and said, are you okay? He goes, I chose not to go into work tonight. He was supposed to go in at midnight. So when he was supposed to go in, he actually didn't go in. So who knows what would have happened. But because of praying in tongues and the burden being lifted, we'll never know what could have happened. Amen? So tongues are very important. There's an old missionary story of people praying in tongues at the same time they found that the missionary they were supporting was being attacked by people and trying to be killed by people. But because they were praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, way back in the United States, it actually stopped the attack that was happening in the village. So you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need this. This is not something that, you know, we do because, boy, you know, we're a Pentecostal church. Everybody's supposed to speak in tongues. This is for you. To have more tools in your toolbox that all of a sudden when you don't know what to pray, you can just pray in the Spirit, pray in other tongues, and man, God is going to move mountains just for you because you are being used. Now listen, the prayer that's coming through you in other tongues, you know is getting answered because who's praying it? The Holy Spirit. Some of you, your futures have come a little bit hard because you're not praying in the Spirit enough. Now, I remember one time I had a great time where we're talking about coupling types of prayer. I was down in the prayer room at Bible College, and I had had a burden for this individual who lived in Texas. I think I told you that story before. And I had never met that individual, but the Holy Spirit put a burden on me, and I had to pray for that individual 2 hours a day. So I would go down to the prayer room after class at 3 o'clock, and I would pray to 5 o'clock. And I remember one time I was just overwhelmed, and I was just praying in the Spirit for over an hour. And then I just broke out in song and praise and worship. And, you know, of course, nobody was in the prayer room. You know, mercy there was great and grace was free. And so I'm singing in the Spirit. I'm literally singing in tongues. And I said, Lord, what was I saying? And I literally got the interpretation of what I was singing in tongues. And what I was singing in tongues, I turned around and was singing the same tune with the interpretation in English. It was really cool. So tongues are a major part of your prayer toolbox. And each one of us need to truly understand that and ask God, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a free gift, by the way, to ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. Why do adults have problems speaking in other tongues? It's very simple. Because you talk yourself out of it. Is it me as a God? Is it me as a God? Is it me as a God? All of a sudden, he starts giving you words. Is it me as a God? Is it me as a God? You know, it's funny. My roommate at Bible college, his name was Steve. Steve had come out of Walpole State Prison. He had been serving, I believe, 15, I don't remember how many years beyond that, 15 plus years for drugs in Boston. And so he's at Walpole State Prison, and he no God background at all. He said, I've had guns pointed in my head, and people pulling the trigger, and the gun just doesn't go off. He said, so here I am, I'm in prison, and my roommate is just, my bunkmate was just released. And I looked over, he says, I knew he wasn't spiritual, but I looked over, and there was a Bible sticking out from underneath his pillow. So he said, I grabbed that Bible, and I started reading it, and I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and then when I got out of jail, he said it was a miraculous way to get out of jail because he's supposed to serve a lot more time, but God opened opportunity. He went to Bible school, and that's where I met him. He was my roommate. And Steve had been, he'd already been there 2 years. He'd been asking the Holy Spirit for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said, for 2 years. And he would go and he would beg and plead and, oh God, fill me, God. And I had a little booklet from Kenneth Hagin. It says, How to Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. And I handed that to him after 2 years of him begging God. He went to the prayer room and came back and said, man, I had it 2 years ago. But your flesh don't want you to speak in other tongues because it's contrary. Remember, the flesh is the enemy of God, Romans chapter 8. So the more you pray in the Spirit, the more you bring your flesh into subjection. So the praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, is an extremely important part of your toolbox. And you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I would encourage you, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no pressure. I mean, I'm not going to make you get filled with the Holy Spirit. You got to all get filled with the Spirit or you're out. But I don't know about you, I want the right tools in my box. I want to be able to, if all of a sudden a burden comes on me, when was that? I think it was like a week and a half ago. I was somewhere, where was I? Well, it just felt like, you know, I call it that ucky feeling. I got that nasty ucky feeling that something really bad is going to happen. And I usually know 3 days in advance. That's how the Holy Spirit works with me. 3 days in advance, I get that nasty, ugly feeling, and I know that within the next 3 days, something's going to unfold. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on. So let me tell you, what I've learned to do, the moment I get that nasty, ucky feeling, I start to pray in the Spirit. I just start praying in tongues. Why? Because I want to thwart it if I can. Amen? Now, the Spirit will speak through you. He'll pray through you. Words that you do not know. He's interceding for you, through you. And man, your mind will be unfruitful, but heaven is starting to move. Because God always moves when the prayer of faith and prayer is being released, that is his will. So by praying in tongues, I don't even know what happened, but all I know is the burden lifted and everything was good. But if I didn't pray in other tongues, what would I have done when that burden came on me? Oh, God, I don't know what it is. Please help somebody. Please, Lord, maybe it's not somebody. Maybe it's something. Lord, maybe it's not something. Maybe it's me. You know, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I feel bad. Hopefully you can help somebody or me or a thing. Or maybe it's my dog. Lord, if it's my dog, we call it shotgun praying. You know, you're just scattergunning. But when you can pray in tongues, you just start praying in the Spirit. And the Spirit will pray through you. And you'll get that answer. Sometimes you'll never know what you're praying for. But all of a sudden, that burden will go, whoop, okay, I'm good. Rhonda came in the other day. She was overwhelmed with a burden. I don't know what it was, and neither did she. She stayed in the living room. I was in the man cave. She stayed in the living room probably an hour and a half, 2 hours, just praying. She came into the man cave. I said, how you doing? She goes, well, it's pretty much gone. I said, oh, good. What was it? I don't know. Doesn't matter what it is. I tell this story, too, in that chapter of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But there was a woman in a second-floor apartment who was praying. She was spirit-filled. She's praying in the Spirit, and she kind of got excited. She got so excited, she got loud. She got so loud that the woman from downstairs in the downstairs apartment came running up to her apartment and pounding on her door. Well, she opened the door. She says, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bother you. She says, no. I'm from Sicily. She says, right now, how do you know a Sicilian? She says, right now, you're praying for a little boy who's drowning off the coast of Sicily. You just don't know. But he loves to use you. So praying in tongues is a major tool in your toolbox. So we have them, right? Let's talk about them. What's the first one? The prayer of supplication. What's supplication? Specifics. Intercession. Standing in the gap, praying for somebody else. Prayer of faith. Calling those things which are not as though they already are. Saying, Lord, it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. I know what your word says, and I command it to come into existence. The power of attorney. Using his name to activate heaven to earth. Acting on God's stead. And then we have the prayer of agreement, which two touch one thing, it shall be. Two touch one thing, it could be, should be, might be, will be done. Very good. Praise and worship is another type of prayer. And then the last one is praying in the Spirit. So I challenge you to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. He will. It's not hard. Don't psych yourself out. Don't try to, when he gives you words, everybody say, close your mouth. Don't say it out loud, but say it in your head. Stop. Really? Nobody said it out loud? You impressed me. Did you hear yourself say it? You heard the word stop? God's not going to take your tongue and go, okay? It's not going to happen. The words come in your spirit. And you'll hear it just like you heard the word stop. It's words you don't understand. It's words that you don't know. That's why everything we get from God is by faith. How many here saw Jesus face to face when you got saved? Nobody? I mean, people, that does happen. How do you know you were saved? Faith. You prayed, and what happened? Change it from the inside out. You got touched. Your old face was touched. Isn't that cool? Can't deny it, can you?
No, I can't. I got scared. I was like, somebody's touching my face, and I'm backing out. Leave me alone.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Well, see, I had a plate put in, and the person that took me said he's just trying to rearrange your face.
Awesome. It's really cool. So salvation is awesome. But how do you know you got saved? By faith. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, God's going to give you words. You speak them out. And your head says immediately, I'm making that up. Why would it make it up? I mean, don't let the devil psych you out of your gift. Amen? Here's another one. I'm copying somebody. Come on now. You know if all these excuses are there trying to get you to stop, that it's not God. Because you will never sit down and go, Well, I think I'm going to fake this. So don't psych yourself out. You can get filled with the Holy Spirit tonight in this room. You can get filled with the Holy Spirit on your toilet. You can get filled with the Holy Spirit in your bed. You can get filled with the Holy Spirit in your car. You can get filled with the Holy Spirit anywhere. And once you start speaking in tongues, I remember one lady got baptized in the Holy Ghost. She said to me, after 2 days, she couldn't stop speaking in tongues. I mean, she worked secular. She had to go to work and everything. And people would talk to her in the natural, and she would talk to them in tongues because nothing else would come out. She tried to speak English, and nothing else would come out, just tongues. And she said, after 2 days, she goes, I'm so glad it stopped. Simply because it was like she couldn't do anything in the natural. It was all in the spirit. But for her, she needed that level of dose because she was a great doubter. She could not doubt it after that. It was great. So these are all tools in your toolbox. Now, what I want you to do is, do you have any questions about the tools in your toolbox? The best one to make a decision is praying. That's a really good question. That's right. How to be led by the Spirit of God. These are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. So that's what I would call, when you're asking for directional, that's what I would call the personal prayer, because you're talking to him to give you the direction of your life. You're not led by open and closed doors. You're not led by, wow, you know, that's a really good opportunity. You're led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that you are governed by the peace of God. That's Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. That the peace of God will rule your heart. So as you're personally praying, Lord, not my will be done. I want to do whatever you want to do. Lord, what's your direction in my life? You'll feel either a red light or a green light in the direction that you need to take. Very good. Personal prayer. And they just went through that. Binding the devil that will blind the mind of the unbeliever. It's in Corinthians. Read it for me. I think it's Corinthians. But I could hear you. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Anybody else? Question? Besides the phone. Yes. Yes. Oh, absolutely. But it's getting them over the hump. Most husbands will very rarely pray with their wives because they feel so awkward that they will never get past that. Sadly. But it's true. Husbands, I challenge you tonight to pray with your wives. If you're not married, don't pray with them. Anybody else? Questions? Well, you shouldn't pray with a man anyways. Women with women, men with men. And then, boy, I got to be careful because that's true. You got to be really careful even with that, because if they have homosexual tendencies, you know, it could be such a bad situation.
Question for you. I know you said, obviously, not together unless you get married.
Correct.
Could, people do it in the group?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, just we're talking about couples that are going to get married. They're individual. They love each other emotionally. They have the filial kind of love already in order. They start building the agape kind of love for each other. There's only one place left to go, and that's the bedroom, or the car, or the. Why do you push me to that? Don't push me to that. Questions. On prayer. What I'd like you to do this week is I'd like you to take one of your situations that you're going to need to pray for this week, and I want you to consciously identify what prayers you will use to get that accomplished, what tool you'll pull out of the box to make that happen. And the reason I want you to really think about this is because it's very easy. Many of you have only ever prayed. You've never used your tools. And you've always wondered why God isn't answering you. Well, listen, if you're not praying in faith, it's really easy. Turn with me to James chapter 1. It's the last book of the Old Testament. I always get excited to see who'll turn there. James chapter 1. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So some of you don't get what you're praying for. The reason you don't get what you're praying for is you're unstable. Because you're not praying in faith. You're not using the right tool in the box. Use the right tool in the box. Now listen, how many of you know that there's a 9-point-something drill, a 12-volt drill, an 18-volt drill, and a 20-volt drill? How many of you know that? They have 24s? And a 24-volt. Power. 36? Is there a 36? And a 36 in Milwaukee. Jesus is good. 75 pounds. Here we go. Watch now. If you need a 24-volt, but your faith level is only at the 9, then you need to build your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The devil knows if he can keep you out of the Word of God, your faith level will always be low, 9-volt. Therefore, you won't have the power to get some things done in prayer. Keep your faith level high by staying in the Word. If you don't read it, listen to it. When I'm in the shower, the Word is always playing. I study the Word before I go to the shower. But it's always playing in my house until I get in my car. When I get in my car, I live in the town of Aaron where there is no cell phone. There's only deer and antelope and buffalo. And they roam. And so, I mean, I can't listen to the Bible until I get to Aaron. I mean, until I get to Breezeport. In fact, not even to Breezeport. I've got to get to. Yeah, I've got to get. You know where East Franklin Street comes down? That's where it works. Sadly enough, if you look on the road, if you're going into Breezeport, you look on the side of the road, you'll see pull-offs. That's the residents have done that because we know how far we can go until our phones no longer work. Questions? Good class? I know I redid some of what Pastor Obi did, but I really think it's important that you truly understand your tools in your toolbox. You must understand and use them properly. Don't pull out a putty knife when you need a hammer. Amen? Okay. So your homework this week. I want you to send me a text or an email. You can do it via Facebook or whatever else, other way you want to do it. And I want you to send me a situation that happened in your life and what tools you pulled out of your box. Okay? All right, let's stand. Can you believe that? We're done at 8:42. Yeah. How many would like some invitation cards for, they're up here. I'm going to leave them right up here. There's not a lot of them, so if you take them, make sure you use them. Is that fair? If you take them, make sure you use them. Let's just pray. Father, bless everybody. Lord, we thank you for giving us awesome tools, Lord, to move heaven to earth. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that our minds be purged, that, Lord, we'll truly understand what you have set in order to make things supernaturally happen on this earth. Lord, I thank you that each one of us have that same anointing, that same power, that same Jesus that rose Christ from the dead. Lord, we are not weak, but we are strong. There's nothing that is more powerful than you through us. So, Lord, teach us. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. Teach us to use our tools properly to get the job done, that we may change the world that we live in by the power of prayer. Lord, I pray that we'll fall in love with prayer, that, Lord, we can't wait to pray, that, Lord, at a drop of a second, Lord, that when you drop something in our spirit, we'll know what tool to pull out. And Lord, that everyone has to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That, Lord, when a burden comes on us that we don't understand, that we will immediately start to pray in the Spirit. God, I just thank you for, Lord, using us. God working with us. Thank you, God, that you're willing to work through us, frail humanity, to see your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, your purposes manifest on this earth. And we give you honor and glory. Bless this offering. Bless each person. Use us, Lord, to bring many people to Jesus this week, Lord, into this house, that they may hear the Easter story of the resurrection of the Messiah. We thank you, God, for the power of God that will manifest this Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. We love you. Don't forget the offering. Be blessed. Have an awesome week in Jesus.